Well, good evening once again. It's good to see all of you here. I'm thankful for your presence. You encourage me in more than you know. I'm also thankful to see Brother Don and his good wife here. We are happy that Janice was able to keep him awake all the way home from New York. And so it's good to see you. I'd like to present, a short lesson. Every time I say that, it seems to be long, but I'm going to try. You know, we live in a world today where, if you think about it, there is a enormous number of very powerful, charismatic teachers all around the world. And we have people with multitudes and multitudes of followers. And these men and women, they speak great, powerful, swelling words that just draw these unlearned people into their presence, and they worship them. They fall down and bow down at their feet, and whatever they say, they believe it without ever testing a word. And a lot of things that they teach are the reasons why they have so many followers. All you have to do is believe, and if you do believe, and if you do follow my teaching, then you'll have great prosperity, and the whole world will be following you. And it'll be a wonderful thing. God is on your side. And you know, I'd like you to look at the book of Matthew chapter 7 for a moment. We're going to read verse 28. But before we do that, you know, I want you to think about something. The things that Jesus taught in what is referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, they're not all happy-go-lucky, good, powerful, boy, you're just going to have a great life things. Jesus did not preach that. In fact, he told his disciples that in this world you will have tribulation. John chapter 16, verse 33. You're going to be hated as my followers. And those are the kinds of things that Jesus taught. When you look at the book of Matthew and you read, go down to verse 10. Jesus teaches, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In verse 11, he says, blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. He's preparing people for a battle. He's preparing people to understand that being a follower of his doctrine is not going to be an easy thing. Of course, he does say in verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And so those are some of the things that he taught. He teaches the people in this sermon that they are to love their enemies, do good for their enemies, pray for those who spitefully persecute you, verse 44. And so when he says things like that, you think, boy, today people don't want to hear that. And they don't. But I want you to go again to chapter 7, at the very end of the chapter, which is the end of his teaching. And Jesus says in verse 28, the scripture says in verse 28, and so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. In verse 29, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. I want you to think about your Savior tonight. Jesus Christ is the one who taught as one having authority. And that should strike you as a very powerful and motivating thing. Because as we sit here tonight, we go through some of these thoughts, realize that Jesus did everything that he did for you. We know he died on the cross for us, but his teaching, everything that he did in his life, the signs, the wonders, and the miracles were all done for you. Why? John says in the end of his writing, so that you may believe. And so I want you to think, you know, how his teaching astonished the people. And you know, in the synagogues, the people were amazed. Jesus went into Capernaum, we read in the book of Mark chapter 1. And when he went into Capernaum, what happened? He came in there and immediately on the Sabbath he entered in and he taught. And they were astonished. Why were they astonished? Because he taught, teaching them as one having authority, not as the scribes. The same kind of message. It's the same thing. In Mark chapter 6, at verse 2, we hear a very similar statement. And we see that he went in on the Sabbath, and he taught in the synagogue, and the people were astonished. This is our Savior, whom we trust in everything. This is the one whom, when the Scripture says, lean not on your own understanding, this is the one that we listen to. This is the one who saves us. In Matthew chapter 7, 28 and 29, as we read that Sermon on the Mount, he taught as one having authority. The people understood there was a difference in his teaching. And unlike the people today who are teaching all these doctrines about prosperity and just pure love, 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 it's all about love, they have a lot of followers, but they can't teach with authority. And we're going to see that tonight. And I hope we're going to build up the Savior in our own thoughts and in our own minds, because he taught unlike the scribes. Jesus spoke as one who had the right to make the law, because he did. In Matthew chapter 5 and at verse 22, we read these words, "But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment and hell fire. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of counsel, but whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell." What I'm trying to bring out is that Jesus was able to say the words, "I say to you." Those are words that aren't popular in our world today. In Matthew chapter 5 and at verse 28, again, Jesus says, "But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Jesus is laying down the law. He's not teaching them prosperity. He's not trying to build their hearts up and make them swell with great, wonderful feelings. If you think about these teachings in Matthew chapter 5 and at verse 32, the sermon, again, "I say to you, whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality," right, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. That teaching doesn't fly well today. And you know what? You don't hear that in the world, because the world isn't able to produce law like Jesus did. He spoke as one who had the right, because he did have the right. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 34, the same thing, "But I say to you." In Matthew chapter 5, verse 39, the same thing, "I say to you." Listen, this is our Savior. He's the one who died on that cross. He's the one who has all authority. And he says words like, "Take heed," warning us. "Take heed. You shall not be, do not," right? "But I say unto you, whoever's angry with his brother without a cause is in danger of judgment. Whoever says to his brother, Raca," we read that, "you shall be in danger." You see, he's reading or giving us instruction. "But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman," all these things add up. And it's things that we need to take heed for. So the question is, did Jesus have authority to speak this way? Because no man today can make law. No man today speaks for God. But he does have an inherent right, something that is given to him by virtue of his being a creator. I want you to think, you know, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." That's our Savior. He's the one who has the inherent right of authority. We read in Colossians chapter 1 that he is the one who created all things. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. By him were all things created that are in heaven and earth and on the earth. That's Jesus. And in the things, the invisible things, the thrones, the dominions, the principalities, and the power, all things were created through him. And listen, if you look at the end of that, for him. You see, everything that is in existence today, he created through himself and for himself. And if you draw a line and connect a dot there, that means that he created you for himself. You know, that's who we're talking about tonight. Right? In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, in these last days, God has spoken by us through his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things and whom he made the world. Our Savior, Jesus Christ. So that should help us, build us up and establish us here in the faith that we do have. Also, by virtue of just being the heir. You know, the psalmist wrote in Psalm 2, let's read that, Psalm 2 verse 8. Don't have that one memorized. Psalm 2 and verse 8. Ask me, listen to these words, and if you're following along with me, I want you to look at the capitalization as the scholars have put this down. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. You know, we always ask the question, who's speaking, who's he speaking to, how does that apply? Listen, let me read it this way. Ask me, your Father, God, and I will give you, my Son, Jesus, the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. By virtue of being the heir, he is the Son of God. We mentioned Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. Again, he was appointed heir of all things. By him was everything made that was made. That's our Savior, Jesus Christ. He prophesied. His inheritance was being prophesied as the Son of God. By the virtue of being our Redeemer, we are so satisfied. 1 Peter chapter 1. If you turn there, 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, just the two verses, 18 and 19. I want you to just meditate a little bit on what Peter said. Knowing that you were not redeemed, he's talking to you all, to me. Knowing that you were not redeemed by corruptible things like silver or gold from the aimless conduct of your enemy, aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as like a lamb without blemish and without spot. Our Savior, we were redeemed by his blood. We know that, but I want you to think about that as we go through this and try to understand he is the one that has the authority. He's the one who could make the law. No other person, no other man, no other preacher, no other teacher, no other elder, nobody else on the earth has that right. People have assumed the right. And many denominations, many churches have been born out of that assumption. But the truth is, there's only one lawgiver, there's only one Savior. There's only one who created all things. There's only one who has all authority in heaven and earth. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1 and at verse 7, he tells us that in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Isn't that a wonderful thought? I hope that makes you feel as good as it makes me to think about my Savior, your Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, we understand, you know, Paul wrote to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20 and in verse 28. And he said, therefore, take heed. Listen to me. This is important. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So he has the inherent right. He is God's son. He is the one who came down from heaven, born of a virgin, walked among men, taught with authority, astonished people with the signs, wonders, and miracles, and then was died on the cross 3 days later, rose from the grave. That's our Savior. The one who has inherent right to teach with authority. And no one else has that right. What about the recognition of that authority? Am I the only one? Are you the only ones? Right? We don't think so. When we talk about the recognition of his authority, he was worshipped by angels. Worshipped by angels. Now, the significance of that is that, you know, I could throw out names of denominational preachers, and I don't really need to, but people worship them. Like I said in the beginning, they fall down at their feet. They praise them. They worship them. Sharon and I had a Bible study with a couple over at Johnny's Diner, and they worship the preachers. Oh, you need to come and hear Sister so-and-so, and you need to hear Preacher so-and-so, and they're going to have a convention, and we're going to go and pay them $50 to give us answers. They actually said that. Wow. In Hebrews chapter 1, and at verse 6, but when he, again, brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. Our Savior, the one who has all authority, the one who has the ability to make law, our Savior, Jesus Christ. God said, my firstborn, my son, remember John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, his firstborn, the only born son. And God says, let all the angels of God worship him. No man has that ability to receive that kind of worship. Peter didn't accept that kind of worship. The angel in heaven speaking to John, when John fell at his feet, said the same thing that Peter said. Peter says, I'm just a man. Don't worship me. The angel says, you know, don't worship me. Who gets the worship? Same one whom the angels worship, that's Jesus. Look at Revelation chapter 5 with me. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11. John says, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, the multitudes, more than any preacher today. And what does it say in verse 12? Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who is slain, was slain and received power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Isn't that amazing? And if you read on, it says, and every creature which is in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth, and such are in the seas, and all are in them, I heard them saying, blessed and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Isn't that an amazing thing? Our Savior. He is the only one who has the right to be worshipped in these ways. I looked and I heard a voice of many angels, John wrote. And he was also recognized by demons, if we're going to be fair about it. Right? There was a man in a synagogue, Mark chapter 1, verse 23 and 24. And we know that he had an unclean spirit and he cried out. the spirits cried out, what did they say? Let us alone. What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Even the demons understood the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. They said, did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. That's our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. None other. And we're here tonight because of Him. And we listen to Him. We listen to the words of God as we direct our steps and allow that Word of God, that Spirit of God, to guide us in all truth and righteousness. You look at the book of Mark chapter 1 and at verse 25 and 26. Jesus rebuked those demons. He said, be quiet and come out of him. Be quiet and come out. Again, who are we listening to? Jesus, the one who has all authority, the one who is God's only Son, the one who is being praised by angels in heaven, the one who teaches as one who has authority, which he did. Be quiet. Come out of him. And when the unclean spirit convulsed, he cried out with a loud voice and he came out of the man. He listened, he obeyed because he understood who was there. And so he was worshiped by angels, he was recognized by demons, and he was praised by the redeemed. When you look back at Revelation, I hope you're still around there, Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7 and verses 9 through 10. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number of all the nations, tribes, and peoples, and tongues standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Amazing. This is our Savior again. Revelation chapter 1 verse 5, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and to the ruler over all the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Praises again from God's saints towards the Son of his love. Those are the things that we learn, even John himself praising God. And so, think of this. What's the extent of Jesus' authority? We may own businesses. We may have control over certain people in a certain area, but what's the extent of your authority? You know, in a household, your authority is in your household. If you own a business, your authority is in the business. You can't own a McDonald's and tell Burger King how to make burgers. And I, living at home, having authority in my own house, I can't tell Taco Bell that they have to make Mexican pizzas, which is my favorite. Because if they don't want to, they don't. But listen, the extent of Jesus' authority, Matthew 28:18, many times we've heard, all authority given to me under heaven and earth. Our Lord has all authority over this realm, over all things. In Ephesians chapter 1 and at verse 20 and 22, the Apostle Paul, he makes it very clear that Christ is the one who was raised from the dead. He sits at the right hand of in heavenly places, and every name that is named under heaven and earth, he's the one who has all the power and all the authority. All things are under his feet. He's the head over all things to the church. And so many fall away from truth. There's an apostasy that we mentioned this morning. So many people follow the false teachers. So many people follow the men with the great swelling words that make them feel so good. And they walk away from the one who's the head over the church. and then they create their own church. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 22, he's the one who's gone into heaven. Again, he's sitting at the right hand of God with all authority and power, having been made subject to him. Jesus has all authority. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's the one who we had washed us with his blood. Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 6 and at verse 15, he is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And so our Lord has all authority in the church, in our lives, and no one else has any authority. To the extent of his authority, everywhere, heaven and earth. He is the head over the church, the head over the body, Colossians 1 and 18. Right? He's the head of the church, quote, the body. That's the body, the church, the Savior of the body, Ephesians 5 and 23. This is our Lord. He is the head, and he has delegated certain authority to his apostles. Right? Jesus says, I have many things to say to you still, and you cannot bear them now. However, the Spirit of truth, whom he will send and guide them in all truth. So they understood. They had authority, limited authority, only to follow the Spirit of God. And the Spirit would speak to them. In Matthew 28 and 20, Jesus commanded those apostles to make disciples of all men and then teach them to observe everything that I have commanded you. He says, and lo, I will be with you all till the end of the age. Jesus. He told them, teach us. Why? Because he loves us so much. In John chapter 13 and at verse 20, proclaiming that whoever receives their teaching receives him. Right? Everything that Jesus taught the disciples, everything they heard through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, most assuredly I say unto you that he who receives whomever I send receives me. He sent the apostles. They wrote by inspiration. We read their words and we're receiving Jesus. And he who receives me, Jesus, receives him, God, who sent me. Listen, just as revealed in the New Testament, Jesus clearly, he has all authority. We've just gone over all of that. Our job is to confess that authority. Our job is to be lights in the world. Confess with your mouth that Jesus, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. Our job is to exalt him in everything that we do. Exalt his name above every name. Share the light of Christ with the world, that light that we are. And those that are above and under the earth, every tongue, every nation, all to the glory of God. That's who we are. And as lights in the world, we listen to the words of Jesus and we obey those words. We heed that instruction from the one who has authority. And he will, as we are, as his church, allow his word through the apostles, through the Holy Spirit, to guide us. And we will be guided into all truth. I appreciate your listening. And I really hope that this is helping us all to look to Jesus as the only one. So many people, even in the church, we need to be careful that we don't divide our faith, our understanding, that we don't divide ourselves between the world and God. I think that in my own mind, in my own heart, to me, it's all in. Right? You understand that phrase? I'm all in. My house, my car, my family, my income, my possessions, my bank account, whatever it is, I'm all in. And I think that's the only way to accept Jesus. We need to be all in. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Well, people that do that are people who are not all in. We need to be all in. Think of Psalms, the writer of Psalms 110, the verses 1 through 3. What do we read? Let's read that together. Psalm 110. And verses 1 through 3. You'll remember the beginning of that. That's where he says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till your enemies. Till your enemies. To make your enemies your footstool. You see that? 110 verses 1 through 3. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out to Zion, of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power, and in the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to Melchizedek. Jesus Christ, our high priest, forever and ever. I hope you've been edified. I hope you appreciated the thoughts. If you have any needs this evening, we're here to pray with you or to teach or to answer questions. And I understand everyone here is already a member of the church. And so, listen, we all know what we had to do to be saved. We know that our Savior, Jesus Christ, came down from the glory of heaven, that he was born of a virgin, that he walked among men, and he brought us the good news of salvation, the gospel. We understand that through our faith and belief and obedience to that gospel, we are baptized into Christ to become members of his body, the church upon the earth. That's a message we can take with us tonight and share with the world around us. So if you have any need this night, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.